Our text this morning is, again, from the Gospel of Mark. We are in Mark chapter 6. We're going to start reading with verse 30, but to catch you up to where we are in Mark's Gospel, at the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus has been in Nazareth, and he has not been recognized, and he now has left Nazareth. He has sent his disciples out two by two. And then we had that interlude where Mark talks about the death of John the Baptist, and then we come back to the apostles. In verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus, told them all that they had done and taught, and he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to the desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place. The hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and they go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray." This is the word of the Lord. Jesus and the disciples were leading an incredibly hectic life. After having been sent out to the villages around Nazareth, the disciples rejoin Jesus, where he tells them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." We don't really know where the disciples go to get into their boat, but Tiberias is a good guess. The city of Nazareth is about a 6-hour walk from the Sea of Galilee, from Nazareth to Tiberias, which is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it's likely that from there, the disciples set out to go on their little trip to a desolate place. They of course, begin in Nazareth in Mark 6, and they end up on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Tiberias was the closest place where they would likely to have picked up a boat on the way there. Our text tells us in verse 31 that many were coming and going. So Jesus has them get into a boat to get away and rest. Sometimes we just need to get away and rest. But people get in the way. The people were on to Jesus and the disciples, and they ran ahead, anticipating where they were going. They go on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee from Tiberias. They walk up north, arriving to the area where Jesus is going to land before the boat. The disciples and Jesus just wanted to get some rest. It seems that the boat was only to give them a temporary reprieve. It is about a 3-hour walk from Tiberias to the spot where the boat landed historically. Apparently, it took even longer by boat, which is kind of funny because usually the boat can go straight and they have to walk kind of around this bend. but the people got there before they did. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of times in my life when I'm crowd averse. Saturdays aren't really the best days to go to Sam's Club. There's just too many people. Get a business membership and you go early. You can get there at 8 o'clock when it opens up for business people and there's hardly anybody there. I mean, Christmas shopping on Black Friday? There's way too many people. My guess is that the disciples were at that time at least somewhat crowd averse. They had gone out, they had exhausted themselves enough so Jesus said, let's come away to a desolate place and get some rest. They were probably looking forward to some time alone. And there was the crowd. Not just a crowd, a great crowd. I think in the minds of the disciples, you could spell great either way. For those of you who are spelling challenged, great, G-R-E-A-T, that's a positive thing, a large number, or G-R-A-T-E, it rubs on you and gets under your skin. I'm thinking the disciples thought, there's a great crowd. Ugh, not again. What do you feel when you see a great crowd? What do you see when you see a great crowd? I submit that it's often easy for us to just see inconvenience, to see people who are going to delay our getting out of the store, or they're going to buy up all of whatever it was we thought we needed at that particular time. When Jesus went ashore and he saw that great crowd, he saw people in need. He had compassion on them. He saw people who were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost, they were helpless, and they were likely in danger. And he had compassion on them. And what happens next gives us a clue to the cost of compassion for us. For the disciples and Jesus model here the price of compassion, and the price is worth paying. Compassion leads first to the opportunity to adjust your plans. There is a lot written about maintaining margin in your life, having strong boundaries. I will only meet with you at such and such a time. I know many pastor friends who have, they set aside one or two days of the week where they say, I take no calls. You know, this is my study day, don't interrupt me. I have to set boundaries to create margin. When Jesus told the disciples to go to a desolate place to rest, he was encouraging them to create margin. So they get in the boat and they set out for this desolate place. It may have been desolate, but it certainly wasn't deserted because a great crowd finds them. Normally, taking a boat from one point on the shore to another is faster than walking, unless, of course, you can walk on water. But that comes later in Mark chapter 6. Perhaps the reason the crowds were able to beat Jesus and the disciples to the place they landed is because the boat ride was an essential part of the margin Jesus was looking for. Not always do we need to be in a hurry. Sometimes the journey is as important as the destination. It's okay to take it slow. It is possible that the disciples were looking forward to some alone time once they got on shore. Maybe just a little time, private time with Jesus. But there on the shore was a great crowd, a crowd which Jesus looked upon with compassion, and the price of compassion was a change of plans. It was a willingness for Jesus to direct the disciples on the spot to say, we're going to do something different now. We came here to rest, but there's people that have needs. The slow boat ride gave Jesus and the disciples the margin they needed to allow their plans to be changed. All too often, our lives are so scheduled that we have very little margin, that we are unwilling or unable to look upon others with compassion because we are frankly in too much of a hurry in our lives, and looking at others with compassion would require us to change our plans. And that's not right. Changing our plans in response to compassion is a blessing. Changing our plans in response to compassion is making us more like Christ. You know, each week we pray a little 5-second prayer. It's a prayer for those in our circle of influence that they might come to know Jesus Christ. And it may seem a little contrived. You may wonder why I insist on us praying that every week. But we do it to remind ourselves that part of our mission on earth is to help those in our circle of influence come to know Christ. If we fail to pray for them, we have failed our task. And part of our intention in praying that prayer is that God would make us aware of opportunities to share Christ with them. That we would view them not as inconveniences, but as people who are without, like a sheep without a shepherd. That we would be willing to see those that impact our lives and interrupt our lives with compassion. That we would not begrudge the change of plans, but welcome the change in our plans in order that we might fulfill God's plans. Compassion leads to the opportunity to change our plans to be aligned with what God wants us to do. Notice what happens next in our text. It says that Jesus takes the time to teach them many things. Margin in our lives is what allows us to stop what we are doing, to teach, and to simply talk with others, to delay and look them in the eye and share our lives with them. Compassion leads to the opportunity to tell people the truth. Verse 34, he began to teach them many things. Unfortunately, we don't know what Jesus taught that day. Each of the four Gospels include the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and none of them record what Jesus said that day. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist, and it doesn't take a theologian to figure out that Jesus expressed the truth in a way which was understandable to his audience. That's what Jesus did throughout his ministry. He used various teaching methods. You remember a few months ago, someone filled the pulpit here and talked about the teaching methods of Jesus. He taught using parables. He told stories. Now, you may not know a parable off the top of your head, but just about anyone can tell a story, and you can teach yourself how to tell a story. You can become imaginative. You can talk about the story of your life. You can weave in the story tidbits of truth. That's what Jesus did. He took common things and he taught about them, whether it was a vineyard or a shepherd, things that were common to his time and his era. And you can do that. Tell a story. Tell a story which isn't too direct, but just gently leads people toward the truth. Jesus also made just lists of truths. Think about the parables. There's a whole bunch of things he says right in a row. And you can do that. I think that's personally a little less effective than telling stories in our day and age. But let's be honest. You can list off truths in the midst of everyday activities. You know, you're fishing. And do you know why rivers bend around in different directions? Because they follow the path of least resistance. And that's exactly why people's lives get twisted. Simple truth. You can ask questions. That's what Jesus did. Read through the Gospels and you see that there are over 100 times that Jesus asked questions. Just simply asking questions. So what do you think is, and fill in the blank with something appropriate to the person you're talking to at the time you're talking to them. And maybe most importantly, Jesus walked with people. He talked with them along the way. He just was there. These are all things which we can do if we have compassion and are willing to have our plans changed to spend time with people. We're given the opportunity to share the truth. None of these things involve saying, oh, this is a teachable moment. I got something I got to share with you. I'm so glad I took that Sunday school class on how to teach. And where do I have the four spiritual laws and pull out the little tract? Or, Roman Road. What's that? What's the Roman Road? Romans. None of these things involve that. Jesus never shared the Roman Road with anybody. Jesus never shared the four spiritual laws. He simply told stories. He connected with people. He shared the truth. He asked them questions, drawing out of them a desire to know God. You just have to take the opportunities that compassion brings you. So tell stories. Ask questions. Walk with people along the way. This is what compassion will do for you if you're willing to allow compassion to change your plans. It will also lead you to have the opportunity to help people. When we read this text, we often focus on the actions that happen next. The feeding of the 5,000. Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feeds a multitude. It's kind of an incredible thing. It is a beautiful story of Jesus showing compassion upon people in need. Last spring, in part because of the grace and kindness of this congregation, I got to spend 10 days in Israel. I had the chance to visit the area where this event took place. Now, it isn't our tradition to venerate locations, but since about the 4th century, Christians have built churches all around Israel at the sites of various events recorded in Scripture. And since much of the ministry of Christ took place along the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, the area surrounding Capernaum, you get a feel for where Jesus ministered pretty easily. And although certainly Jerusalem and Bethlehem are much more built up, the area around Capernaum is not all that dissimilar to what it was probably like about 2,000 years ago. We do have paved roads and a lot of buses and a lot of tourists that show up there. But the area is pretty compact and it's not full of buildings. It's not just hugely developed. And there's a church on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee called the Multiplication Church. It's built over a rock where it is said that Jesus performed this miracle. From that spot, you can look up to the northwest and see the Mount of Beatitudes, the place where Jesus is said to have preached the Sermon on the Mount. It's a short walk from there to the beach where Jesus met the disciples after the resurrection and grilled fish for them. And from that spot, it's maybe another half an hour down the road to Capernaum. You can walk that whole area in a day. And it takes only about an hour to hike down the Mount of Beatitudes to the spot of the feeding of the 5,000. It's 2.5 miles. By the way, it's 3 miles from here to the nearest Walmart. Except if from between here and the nearest Walmart, there's all kinds of houses and people. But even today, from the Mount of Beatitudes to the spot of the feeding of the 5,000, there's nothing there. Except for banana farms. I'll bet you didn't know they grow bananas in Israel. It's just wide open, desolate land. It is a compact area, And although it is filled with banana farms and lots of boats, it's still desolate. There is no Taco Bell. There is no McDonald's. And Ali's restaurant, the nearest place to pick up a serving of St. Peter's fish, is an hour and 25-minute walk in the opposite direction of Capernaum. And the fish isn't that good. The people were hungry, and there is no place to eat, so Jesus fed them. That's what compassion does for you. Because out of his compassion, he met their need. Compassion gives you the opportunity to help people. Now, I am pretty sure that we are unlikely to take 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread and feed a multitude. If you can do that, see me after the service. But you know what? We're also pretty unlikely to preach to 5,000 in a desolate place. The people for whom we pray our 5-second prayer are individuals. They are friends. They are people with individual needs, needs which we can often meet. Those of you reading through the Bible using one of the plans in the foyer will have read from the book of Job this week. After Job has suffered his great loss and been physically afflicted, his 3 friends come to him. Now, honestly, there's not a lot that the 3 guys say which I would recommend, but it is fascinating to me that when they first came to him, they see him at a distance and they don't recognize him because he's so physically messed up. And they come, and the scripture tells us that all they did was sit with him in silence for 7 days. You can barely stand it for 7 seconds. It seems to me that Job needed that silence more than he needed their advice. Sometimes when we look upon people with compassion, the best thing we can do for them is sit next to them in silence. Maybe it means we'll feed them. Maybe we'll just sit with them. Because there's something about our presence and our lack of foisting upon others our voice that ministers to them. If we really see people with the eyes of compassion, we will have the opportunity to help them, because compassion will lead for us to look for ways to care for those who are in need. Another quick lesson from the 5 fish and 2 loaves. This is just a side note. When compassion moves us, use what is at hand to help those at hand. Use what is at hand to help those at hand. The final lesson we get from compassion is that compassion gives you the opportunity to pray for people. At the end of our text, before Jesus met the crowd on that desolate shore, he was taking his disciples away to rest. After allowing his plans to be changed in light of compassion, after teaching them and feeding the 5,000, Jesus tells his disciples to get back in the boat and travel to Bethsaida, where he is going to meet them. And Jesus goes up to a mountain to pray. Now, of all the people who don't need to pray, Jesus is pretty high on that list. Who's he going to pray to? Himself? His Father? Why does he need to pray? Well, I can't answer that question, but I know this. If Jesus needed to pray, you need to pray. If Jesus was led to pray as a result of compassion, we ought to be led to prayer because of our compassion. We're going to look at this particular instant, what happens to the disciples on that boat ride in a couple of weeks. But for now, notice what Jesus does. He goes to a mountain to pray. Now, just to be clear, there's nothing sacred about the mountain. The important thing is not that he went to a mountain to pray. As a matter of fact, having been in that area, you can hardly call them mountains. The Sea of Galilee is no sea. It's just a lake. You know, you can make it across the Sea of Galilee easily in, I would guess, an hour on a boat. It might take you, you know, 3 hours to row across the Sea of Galilee from Tiberias to the Golan Heights. It's just a lake. There are lots of lakes in Minnesota bigger than the Sea of Galilee. And there's lots of mountains in Colorado a lot taller than the Mount of Beatitudes. It's not the mountain which is important. It is the prayer which is important. Prayer is now and always has been a normal Christian response to seeing those around us with compassion. The problem for many of us is that we have faltered in our prayer life. Whereas it used to be standard for a church to have a weekly prayer meeting, through the years, attendance has dropped so much that most churches have eliminated prayer meeting. People are too busy. I am happy to say that we still have a prayer meeting on Sunday nights. That's a plug for prayer meeting. 6:15 to 7:15, out of here by 7:15, home by 7:30, in time to watch whatever inane program is on TV, or the end of a football game. Now, you don't have to attend prayer meeting. The idea of prayer meeting isn't mandated in the Scripture. We are encouraged to pray two or three gathering together, but we don't have to have prayer meeting. But the idea of prayer is mandated in Scripture. And if you see someone in need and you say you will pray for them, do it. Set aside the time to pray. You may not be able to address the needs of those around you, but you know someone who can. And even he felt the need to pray. Compassion will do that to you. Compassion will give you the opportunity to change your plans. It will give you the opportunity to lead people towards Christ by giving them tidbits of the truth. It will give you the opportunity to help people, and it gives you the knowledge to pray for people in your circle of influence with the type of wisdom which is needed for God to answer your prayers in a way which will bring them into relationship with Christ. We live busy lives. We need margin, but we need to look upon our world with compassion. Allow your compassion to affect you in the same way that Christ's compassion affected him, in order that you might influence people with the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we ask that you would help us when we pray that 5-second prayer to be on the lookout for how we can view those in our circle of influence with compassion, to seize the moment, to share truth, meet needs, and to continue to pray that those around us would come to a saving knowledge of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.